We've been speaking the last couple of days about different aspects of Kriyas HaTorah and about Kavod HaTorah at the time when we lain. So perhaps today we'll talk about standing in front of a Sefer Torah that is taken out of the Aron Kodesh. So the Gemara begins in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Gimel. The Gemara talks about this question. Ibar Lehu, Mahu Lamed Mipnei Sefer Torah? Very simple question. Does a person have to stand up in the presence of a Sefer Torah or not? So the Gemara says, Reb Chilki of Reb Simon, Reb Elezer Amri, they all said Kal V'chomer. We learn out from a Kal V'chomer that you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah. What's the Kal V'chomer? Mipnei Lomdei HaOmdim. We know that you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham. As we know, the Pasuk says, Mipnei Seva Takum. Seva doesn't only mean a person of age, but it also means V'adarta Pnei Zakein Zesher Kana Chachma, Talmud Chacham. So certainly, if you have to stand up for the Talmud Chacham, who is an embodiment of the Torah, then for sure, Mipaneh HaLo Kal Shekein. And certainly for the Sefer Torah itself, which is the original text that made this person into a Talmud Chacham, certainly you have to stand up for them. The Prima Gadim, when he read this Gemara, says, to be taken literally, it's a Dinda Araisa, that a person has to stand up for a Sefer Torah, just like every other halacha in the Gemara, that's learned out from a Pasuk, learned out from a Kal V'chomer, is considered to be a Da Araisa, and therefore says the Prima Gadim, this too is a Dinda Araisa, that when a Sefer Torah is out of the Aron Kodesh, one has to stand up in its presence. There are others who disagree and say, no, this is just an asmachta, it's a din midrabanan, it's not a real bona fide din de araisa. There are those who quote the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi writes that es Hashem Elokecha tira, so we're all familiar with the drasha, es l'rabos tamidei chachamim. Not only should you have Yerushamayim, but you also have to have kavod for tamidei chachamim. But the Yerushalmi learns out in brachos that it means es l'rabos tarasa, which means the Sefer Torah as well. So some say maybe from there we learn that you have to stand up. Be it as it may, we have this machlokas, whether or not this is a din de araisa or a din derabanan. A fascinating question that comes up is, does this apply to a puzzle Sefer Torah as well? Would you say that, let's say, all of our Sefer Torah are usually kosher, but in every shul we always have a couple of Sefer Torah that are puzzle, either because we're waiting to have them fixed, or because they're puzzle and they're never going to be fixed, but we're not going to dispose of them, so we leave them in the Aron with something tied around to make a indication that they're not able to be used. So that's the question, does that also have a status of a kedusha that you have to stand up in its presence as well? Very often, let's say by a achnasa sefer Torah, they'll take out the puzzle sefer Torah to dance with those as well. Or let's say on Simchas Torah, you'll have a lot of times they take out the puzzle sefer Torah and they use those. Do those really have a kedusha sefer Torah, or do we assume once it's puzzle, so it no longer has the kedusha? So the Aruch HaShulchan is medayik in a Rambam that a puzzle sefer Torah does not have a kedusha sefer Torah anymore. It's a sheikh diuk. It's not clear that his diuk is correct, but that's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. On the other hand, the Nodeb Yehuda discusses this issue about a Pasul Sefer Torah. What's the status of a Pasul Sefer Torah? And the Nodeb Yehuda has a very important discussion. Nodeb Yehuda wants to know the following. In Shulchan Aruch, we're told in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses that the Aron Kodesh has a certain level of Kedusha. So we're told there in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses that because the Aron has a Kedusha, therefore you're not allowed to put other items into the Aron. So let's say I want to store my Gabbai handbook over there, where I want to put all the cards to give everybody the aliyahs. I don't want anyone to walk off with it. I don't want anyone to steal it. I don't want it to get lost. So every night I'm going to go at night, put it into the Aron. When we lock up the Aron, this way I know we'll be there in the morning. Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to do that. The Aron Kodesh is considered a Makam Kodesh, and therefore it is reserved for Sifrei Torah and is not allowed to have other things in it. So now the Nodeb Yehuda raises the question, and he says this question was asked to him by somebody by the name of Rabbi Yaakov, a great Talmud Chacham, he says, where Rabbi Yaakov wanted to know, are we allowed to put Pasul Sifrei Torah into the Aron as well? Or do you say, no, that's like putting the Besamim box in there. That's like putting the Gabbai handbook into the Aron, which you're not allowed to do because it doesn't have a Kedusha. So maybe the same way you're not allowed to put other items, maybe you're not allowed to put this item either, which is not really a Kedusha Sefer Torah. So there he goes into a lengthy discussion. What exactly is the status of a Pasul Sefer Torah? Do we assume that just because it's missing letters, just because there was something found that makes it no longer usable, does that mean that it loses its status of Kedusha? So he's not exactly sure. So the Nodeb Yehuda first wants to say that maybe we should learn from Parshas Truma, where we're told in Parshas Truma, Luchos v'shivrei Luchos munachos baron. We know there were two sets of Luchos, and we know that they had to build an Aron Kodesh in the Beis HaMikdash. So not only did the Aron HaKodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim house the real set of Luchos, they also housed the old set of Luchos. What good are the old set of Luchos? What are you going to do with them? They're Shivrei Luchos. It's a puzzle of Sefer Torah. Says in Nodeb Yehuda, you see that when you have something that's designated for a Sefer Torah, not only are you allowed to put the Sefer Torah in there, but you're also allowed to put a Pasul Sefer Torah in there as well, because that's what they did in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They put in not only the Luchos, but they put in also the broken Luchos as well. Then he says, but maybe one will argue that it's not really the same. Over there, after all, both sets of luchos were made by God himself. So, shivrei luchos, yeah, you're right, a pasul of sefer Torah, maybe it doesn't belong in the Aron, but the shivrei luchos, which were ma'aseh elokim, those are made by God himself, maybe that's going to be a little different. Maybe we should be able to put those in, and you cannot extrapolate from there to our case of a regular sefer Torah that becomes pasul, because after all, that was just made by a human being, but that was made by God, and therefore it shouldn't be the same. Interesting discussion. It goes back and forth, back and forth. In the end, he says, maybe even if you're going to say that a pasul of Sefer Torah has the same level of Kedusha as a real Sefer Torah, which you can use, still he says maybe it's not a good idea to leave it in the Aron because you never know. Maybe someone's going to make a mistake. One day they're going to go up to the Aron, they're going to take out the pasul one, they're going to forget that it was this covering, that covering, and therefore he says you shouldn't have them in the Aron Kodesh, not because of Kedusha, forgetting about that. He's concerned maybe someone's going to make a mistake. Now that concern is really not relevant because now, whenever we have a pasul of Sefer Torah, we're going to go and wrap it with something. We usually make a very clear demarcation. We make a clear indication that this is not to be used for the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. And therefore, perhaps the Nodeh Behuda's concern is not really a concern. Other Achronim quote that there's a Sefer Chassidim. The Sefer Chassidim writes explicitly that when a person has a pasul of Sefer Torah, you're allowed to put it into the Aron HaKodesh next to the other ones. The same way, the Ribbono Shel Olam instructed us to put the Shivrei Luchos next to the real Luchos. So the Sefer Hasidim himself addresses the issue, and therefore he says that we can learn, we would be able to learn, from the story of the Aron. So, status of Apostle of Sefer Torah is not really clear. However, there's an incredible story that's told about Rabbi Isser Zalman Meltzer. Rabbi Isser Zalman was one of the Gedolei Hador, one of the great Rashi Yeshiva in the last generation. So they have a story about him, that before Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, he wanted to give a Musaf Shmuz in the Yeshiva. So he said over the following. He says, the Gemara over here tells us, let's not forget, the Gemara wants to know, how do we derive the halacha that you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah? So says the Gemara, because if you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham, certainly you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah itself. The Talmud Chacham embodies the Sefer Torah, so the Sefer Torah, which is the real thing, certainly you have to stand up for that. So Rabbi Isser Zalman got up and he said, you see from the Gemara that we have some sort of connection between a Talmud Chacham and a Sefer Torah. There seems to be some sort of connection between the two, and that's where the Gemara compares them. So he said the following, Vihine, Sefer Torah shenimtza ba afilu os acha she'ena kitikuna. When you have a Sefer Torah that's found, even one letter is missing, even one letter is not properly written, one letter is off, karachim es chagurasos svivo mibachutz, we take the mantle of the Sefer Torah, we take the covering, the wrapping, and we put it around on the outside. Agabi ha-me'il, on top of the covering, we want that everyone should see. Uvekach kavayachol machriz ha-Sefer Torah hazeh. It's as if the Sefer Torah is giving out a public declaration, Pasul ani, al tilmudu mimeni, I am not a kosher Sefer Torah, beware. I am not to be used, I'm not to be learned from, because I am not a kosher Sefer Torah. So he said, he began to cry, and he said, Morei v'rabosai kama chataim avonos upshaim osum anu. He said, we, the Talmid HaChachamim, are considered like a Sefer Torah as well. But how many defects that we have? How many letters are we missing in the Sefer Torah that's supposed to be the perfect Sefer Torah of the Talmud Chacham? Kama chaguras chayavim anu lilbosh me'al bigdenu. So people respect us and people honor us and they say, oh, look at this rabbi, look at this Talmud Chacham, he's so this, he's so that. He says the same way by apostle of Sefer Torah, you have to take a gartelet and put it around to make sure everybody knows loud and clear this is not to be read from. So to us, he says, Talmid Chachamim, who walk around and make pretend like they're perfect, like everybody should be mechabed them, everyone should honor them, we should be wearing belts on top of belts on top of belts to remind everybody that we're human beings also, and we also have faults. We also do things wrong. Mutal aleinu, he says, alechas berachovas kiriya. We should really have the obligation to go out into the streets, velizok maran, to scream on top of our lungs, al tilmudu mimaisas esha asisi. I was talking during Chazaras HaShatz the other day. That was a bad thing to do. Don't learn from me. And I was talking Lashon Hara the other day in the hallway in between Mincha Ma'ariv. Don't listen to me. And don't follow in my ways. We should do the same thing. Al tilmudu mimaisas esha asisi. He says this is something that every Talmud Chacham has the responsibility to do. The same way a Sefer Torah that's pasul, so to speak, screams out into the street and says, don't learn from me. So too we should do the same, he writes, that a Talmud Chacham should make sure that people know not to learn from the mistakes that they make and not to follow in the ways that sometimes are not exactly the way they should be acting. So we have a Gemara here which indicates that the Sefer Torah is more chashuv. The Sefer Torah is more special than the Talmud Chacham. How do we know that? Because we know that you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham. Says the Gemara, it's a kal v'chomer. If you have to stand up for the Talmud Chacham, certainly you have to stand up for the Sefer Torah. Now the Rishonim point out a very obvious question. The Ran and the Rashba and other Rishonim ask a very obvious point. that we have a Gemara here in Kiddushin that says that a Talmud Chacham is less than a Sefer Torah. Why? Because we learn a Kavul Chomer. If you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham, certainly you have to stand up for that which is more respectable than the Talmud Chacham himself. Yet we have another Gemara in Makos Daf Chaf Beis where the Gemara says the exact opposite. The Gemara says, I was told you're not supposed to say exact opposite. It's the wrong way to say it. You're just supposed to say opposite. If it's exactly the same, then it's not opposite. So we have a Gemara that says, the opposite. And what is the opposite? The Gemara says in Makos Daf Chaf Beis, Amar Rava, Kama Tipshoi Shar Inshi, how foolish people are, Dekaimi Mikami Sefer Torah. You open up the yarn, you take out a Sefer Torah, everybody knows, knee-jerk reaction, you stand up. How foolish people are that they know to stand up for a Sefer Torah, V'lo Kaimi Mikami Gavar Rava. But when a Talmud Chacham walks into the room, nobody cares, nobody stands up, nobody pays attention. So says the Gemara, people are very foolish. How do they not understand that the same way you stand up for a Sefer Torah, then certainly you should be standing up for a Talmud Chacham who walks into the room? So the Gemara seems to be very strange. Why is a Talmud Chacham greater than a Sefer Torah? Says the Gemara, I'll prove it to you. Dilu b'Sefer Torah k'siv, because in the Sefer Torah we're told, Arbaim v'asir rabbanim batzur chada. The Torah says in Parshas Kisetze, you should whip the person who deserves Malkus 40 times. And the Talmud Chacham comes along and says, no, don't take the Sefer Torah so seriously. It doesn't really mean 40, it only means 39. What do you mean it only means 39? I just read the pasuk in Chumash that says 40. Who are you to say 39? So you see that a Talmud Chacham is greater than a Sefer Torah. That's what the Gemara says. So the Rishonim point out, this seems to be a contradiction. Is a Talmud Chacham greater or is the Sefer Torah greater? Now there's a very fascinating story which I said over recently, very famous story, about the Ostravtzer Rebbe and Reb Chaim Ozer. It's a very amazing story. It's a beautiful story on many levels. But the Ostravtzer Rebbe was one time taking a vacation, as all good stories happen in Europe, in the forest, and he bumps into Reb Chaim Ozer. Reb Chaim Ozer was the undisputed Gadol Hador at the time, and the Ostravtzer Rebbe was apparently the Chassidish Rebbe of the time that everybody respected. All the Talmidei Chacham respected him as well as being a great tzaddik. So they were talking to one another, and each one was pointing to the other and saying, I'm mechabed you with the first of our Torah. And he said to him, no, you're the Gadol Hador, you should say the first of our Torah. And he says to him, no, you're a Gavur Rabbah, you should say the first of our Torah. So he says, you know what, you call me a Gavur Rabbah, I'll tell you a Dvar Torah about what it means to be a Gavur Rabbah. This Gemara over here in Makkah says, how foolish people are that they don't stand up for a Gavur Rabbah, for a Talmud Chacham who walks into the room. How do we know a Talmud Chacham is greater than a Sefer Torah? Says the Gemara, because the Torah says, hit him 40 times, and the Talmud Chacham knocks it down to 39. Ask the Ostravtzer Rebbe a very obvious question. For anyone who's a Baal Kori in the room, where is that pasuk in Chumash about Arbaim Yakenu? In Parshas? Say, at the end of the Torah, that's where we're told to give someone Malkus. So why did the Gemara have to bring this proof that a Talmud Chacham is greater than the Torah from Parshas Kisetze all the way in the way end of the Torah? Why don't you bring the proof from Parshas Amor? What do we have in Parshas Amor? Usfartam lachem imachres haShabbos tisbru chamishim yom. And the Chacham came along and said, nah, don't read the pasuk literally, it just means 49. So why do we have to say that a Talmud Chacham is greater than the Torah? Because we have in Parshas Kisetze all the way in the end of the Torah, Arbaim Yakenu, and the Talmud Chacham says it's only 39, don't take it literally. I have a pasuk much earlier on in the Torah, in Parshas Emor, where it says, Tisbru Chamishim Yom, and the Chacham said, don't read the pasuk literally, knock it down to 39, knock it down to 49. Why don't we bring the proof from there? Said the Ostravtzer Rebbe so beautifully. Why do we respect the Talmud Chacham? What's so great about a Talmud Chacham? What, just because he's smarter than everybody else? Just because he learned more than everybody else? Just because he's able to give a better shiur than anyone else in the shul? What's so great about the Talmud Chacham? Those aren't reasons to respect a person on their own. There are a lot of smart people. So when Albert Einstein walks into the room, you're going to stand up for him? Maybe you should. But nobody would. Torah doesn't say you have to. So why is it that we stand up for a Talmud Chacham? Just because of his mind? What's so special about a person's mind? God created everybody in different ways. Some people have minds that are sharper. Some people have minds that have areas of intellect in other areas. So what's so unique about the Talmud Chacham? Just because he knows Torah? Why is that anything significant? Said the Ostravtzer Rebbe, that's not the reason why we stand up for a Talmud Chacham. We stand up for a Talmud Chacham not because the Talmud Chacham knows how to take a pasuk that says, count 50 days, and he knocks it down to say, oh, only 49. A lot of brilliant people know how to take things and make different meanings out of them. We stand up for a Talmud Chacham because he could look at a pasuk when we're talking about Malkus, when we're talking about somebody who deserves to be beaten, when we're talking about somebody who's a Rasha Marusha, who got Hasra beforehand, and who says, Afal Pikin Aniyosa, in defiance, I'm going to go ahead and violate the Avera anyway. And now we go ahead and we whip him, and now he's on the ground, he's about to die. And the Talmud Chacham stands up and he says, no. How are we going to figure out how to lighten the load of this person who's suffering now, being whipped? That's a person who deserves our respect. That's why a Talmud Chacham is great. Not because he knows how to make a drasha and a pasuk, Everybody knows how to do that. Anyone smart can do that. Anyone who knows the rules can make a new principle in math or in physics and anything else. What's great about a Talmud Chacham, and the reason why we respect a Talmud Chacham, is because he knows how to apply those principles and make them work even for the person who is suffering and who deserves to suffer. That's why a Talmud Chacham is great, and that's why we call you a Gavirah. That's why the Gemara says that we stand up for a Talmud Chacham because our Baim Yakenu, and he says knock it down to 39. That's the greatest way to learn this lesson. That's what we're told, but the problem is that we have two conflicting Gemaras. Who's greater? Is the Talmud Chacham greater, or is the Sefer Torah greater? Again, on the one hand, the Gemara says in Kiddushin that a Sefer Torah is greater. It's a Kal v'chomer from a Talmud Chacham. On the other hand, we have the Gemara in Makos that says a Sefer Torah is greater. If you stand up for a Sefer Torah, Kal v'chomer, you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham, who's even more powerful than a Sefer Torah. So there's a fascinating Shaila, a story about Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I think, that he was once, I think it's either written in the Halicha Shlomo, or one of the Svarim about Reb Shlomo Zalman, one of his Talmidim, I think, wrote it, that he was once on Simchas Torah, he was holding the Sefer Torah, and he tripped over something, and he fell on the ground. Both Reb Shlomo Zalman and the Sefer Torah in his hands fell on the ground. And there was a big tumult in the shul. Who should we pick up first? Which Gemara is correct? Is the Talmud Chacham greater, so we should pick him up first? Or is the Sefer Torah greater, so we should pick the Sefer Torah up first? An interesting shaila that doesn't come up that often. Again, because most of us are not such great Talmidei Chacham that we're not sure who's greater, the Torah or ourselves. But when you have Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it's a serious question. Which Gemara do we take literally? Do we assume that a Talmud Chacham is greater and therefore the Talmud Chacham should be picked up first? Or do we assume that no, the Sefer Torah is greater and therefore the Sefer Torah should be picked up first? A fascinating shaila. In the end, I hope they picked up both, but it was a tumult in the Beis Medrash where they were figuring out which one should be first. The question then is, when do we have to stand up for the Sefer Torah? At what point is it necessary for a person to go out of their way and stand up for the Sefer Torah? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Sefer Torah, and this is what the Mechaber writes in Hilchos Sefer Torah as well in Yeridaya, Haroah Sefer Torah Kishuhu Mehalech, a person who sees the Sefer Torah in motion, Chayav Lamad Lefanav, which means, if you have a Sefer Torah just sitting in the Aron, not being moved at all, no motion in the Sefer Torah, then you don't have to stand up, Me'ikar Adin. Strictly speaking, you don't have to stand. During Slichos often, we open up the Aron for different parts of the Slichos, different parts of the Davening, Avinu Malkeinu, you really don't have an obligation to stand up at that point. The only time you have an obligation is when the Sefer Torah is in motion and it's moving around. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that when we say that you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah that's in motion, smicha is ki yeshiva. If a person's leaning on the shtender at the time, or if a person is leaning on their chair at the time, leaning on the table, and they're not standing in a fully erect position, that is as if you are sitting. That's not going to be sufficient to be called standing up in front of the Sefer Torah. Standing up means standing up without leaning on anything. And the Shulchan Aruch writes as well, that really, me'ikar adin, you don't really have an obligation to stand up for the Sefer Torah while it's sitting on the bima either. The Prima Gadim writes that when the Chazin, even when the Chazan is doing Haskaras Neshamas, and the Chazan is just standing there, or the Gabbai is standing there holding the Sefer Torah, sometimes over here by Mincha, it takes, you know, 2-3 minutes to finish the Haskaras Neshamas by Shabbos afternoon Mincha. So the Prima Gadim writes, as quoted in the Shavat Zion, you don't even have an obligation to stand up then, because the Torah is not in motion. So the only problem that they deal with is, if it's true that you have to stand up whenever the Sefer Torah is in motion, what are we going to do with Hakafas? How come Hakafas, we have the Sefer Torah is in motion, it's not in a stationary place, and yet by Hakafas, for some reason, everybody has the practice that in the middle, when you're getting tired out, you don't go outside to sit down, and we generally see people all the time that sit down in the middle of Hakafas. What exactly is the rationale for that? Maybe we'll talk about that Sukkot time, but that's a very interesting halacha to be aware of.